your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read one verse for the thought of our study tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We've been making a study on Sunday evenings in regard to life after death. And we've discussed what happens at death, that there is a separation between the body and the spirit, and that the spirit or soul goes back to God, and the body returns to dust, that it goes to the grave and it returns to the dust from whence it came. Then we talked about the fact that there will come a day, and what we want to talk about tonight, the judgment day. And then when you take your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you'll notice there will take place the second coming of Jesus Christ. In that day, there will be the resurrection. And that is when the body of man will be raised and the soul that has been with God or has been placed in torments will be reunited with the body, and there you will have body, soul, and spirit again. Now we need to see the difference. When one dies, now the body goes back to the grave and returns to dust, and the soul goes on to God and God places the soul. But in the resurrection day, the body will come out of the grave and be united with the soul, and man will be complete again. He will have a body and a soul. Open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which we've referred to several times in this study. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, he wants them to understand about the resurrection day. And this will be referred to as the judgment day. Notice, if you will, that he gives them comfort in verse 13 concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, question, what's he bringing? The soul. Then what's going to happen? For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend with heaven, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. Now watch it. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Well, it just said back in verse 14, they're going to come with him. Or in verse 15... But what's going to be risen? Their body. So the body will be risen and reunited with the soul. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. We talked about last time the soul is conscience wherever it is. But now in the resurrection day, notice that the body will be raised and man will be complete again. Man will be with body and soul. Man will have a complete unit, body, soul, and spirit. Now, when will that day come? Open your Bible to the book of Acts and the 17th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the 17th chapter, notice what is said in verse 31. Because God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, we will hear you again on this matter. Now notice what he said. God has appointed the day. Nobody knows that day but God. And notice that will be the day of judgment when the soul and body have been reunited. That will be the day of sentencing. That will be the day that judgment will be rendered down. Whether the soul be in torment now or whether the soul be in paradise now, the judgment day has not yet occurred. That will come on an appointed day. There's one judgment day. Open your Bible again, if you will, and note with me in the Hebrew letter that the Apostle Paul said that it is appointed for man to die, then the judgment. So we will have a day of judgment. So there is a difference. But that brings up another thought. We don't know the day. You know, I remember one time when I was in Nashville, Tennessee, someone had broke into the church building. And they stole some things, and they went through my office, and I told someone they ought to have paid me, because I think when they saw my office, they said, this place has already been hit and just left. But someone asked me, they said, Mike, when did they break in? And I said, I don't know. They didn't call and tell me when they were coming. And you know, that's how the second coming of Christ will be. It's going to come like a thief in the night. That's what is said in 2 Peter 3. And no man knows the day nor hour except God the Father. So we need to bear in mind, He will come again. We just don't know the day. But that brings up a second thought in our study. Not only do we recognize there will be a judgment day, we need to recognize that when we're raised, we'll be given a new body. And I want us to understand, this brings up a part that's very complicated. And I don't understand how it'll all be done. But God didn't ask me to understand it. He just said, here's what's going to happen. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for just a moment. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look if you will at verse 35. In verse 35, someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now, have you ever thought of that? What kind of body? They were asking, well, if a person died in the days of their infancy, will they still be an infant? If they died in their old age and had a body that was worn, will they have that kind? What kind of body? And look at how Paul answered this. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But look at verse 38. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. You know what Paul is saying? You leave that up to God. The Corinthians ask the same question that I get asked a lot of times. What about the resurrection? There's a lot of things they didn't understand about the resurrection. There are a lot of things we don't understand about the resurrection. And there's a lot of controversy over it. But I want you to know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 38. He says, God will give it a body. Leave that up to God. There are some things we just need to leave to God. All I know is that it'll be a spiritual body. And God said He was going to give it a body, and I know that it's going to be a body that's a blessed body. It will be an eternal body. And He didn't ask me to explain everything about the body, but He's going to give it a body, and man will be complete again, body and soul. And He said it will be a spiritual body. And you know what I have to do? I have to leave that part up to God. So there's two things we can put down tonight. We can put down there will be a judgment day, and then we can put down that we'll be given a new body. Those who go into eternal paradise will be given a body. And those who are in eternal damnation, they'll be given some kind of body. But all we know is that it's an eternal body. But that brings up a third thing. And this is something I've been asked time and time again. Will we recognize each other in heaven? I've had a lot of people come to me and say, now, preacher, do you believe we'll recognize each other? Do you believe that when we get to heaven, we'll recognize one another? And you know, my friend, I believe we will. And some people take issue with that. But I want us to take note that the Bible has some things to say about it. And now it may be that you disagree with me on it, and we could just continue to study it. But I will tell you why I believe that we will recognize one another. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 8th chapter. In the book of Matthew and the 8th chapter, notice, if you will, what Jesus had to say. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, He said, and I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now, how would I know I was sitting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob unless I could recognize them? Have you ever thought that the only way I'll know who I'm sitting with is if I recognize them? And he gives us a picture of joy. How many times have we studied about Abraham, that great man of God, that great man of faith? How would you like to recognize him? Someone may say, how will that be done? You know what? I leave that to God. God didn't tell me I had to figure everything out. God didn't tell me I had to prove it in a logical manner. He just said, you'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, the hardest part or the hardest thing for many of us is just to leave it like it God said. If God says it, then my friend, I need to just leave it right there. Now then, in the Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 16th chapter, notice, if you will, that in Luke 16, the rich man recognized Lazarus from afar. Now, whether it be a parable or whatever you want to call it, it's expressing truth. And there was recognition. And if you look in your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the 17th chapter, on the Mount of Transfiguration, you have Moses and Elijah. And what does Peter, James, and John do? They recognize Moses and Elijah. Now, had they ever met him before? No, sir. So how would they have recognized them? Have you ever thought there'll be recognition? That God will allow that? They one time asked Marshall Keeble in Nashville, Tennessee, Brother Keeble, will we recognize one another? He said, oh yes. He said, I'd like to think we got more sense in heaven than we got here. But that brings up another question. If we do recognize one another, and a loved one doesn't make it to heaven, won't that bring sorrow? I've had people come to me and say, now, preacher, if you say we recognize one another and I make it to heaven and my spouse doesn't make it to heaven, then won't I be sorrowful? No. Well, why would I not be sorrowful? Because God will make it where we won't be sorrowful. If God, who created this universe, and God who created man, and God who's made all these things and who has created heaven, if God can do all that, then God can make it where we won't sorrow. I have to put my faith and trust in God that God said there will be no sorrow in heaven. Open your Bible to Revelation 21:4. And then notice in this verse, I think about this verse so much because it gives so much comfort. And Revelation 21:4, when Jesus is talking about the return, notice that John said, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Whatever sorrow I had before, God the Father will wipe away the tear. An angel, I'd be content with, brush away my tear. But notice, God Himself has set aside this tender moment to wipe away our tears. And so in heaven, there will be no more sorrow. If God can create a place for man to be without there being any death, and if He can create a body to be united with the soul that will never die, and we sing that song, Where the Soul Never Dies, then why should I question God about happiness in heaven? God didn't tell me to understand how there will be happiness in heaven. God just said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now then, if I recognize people and I still, even though my loved one's not there, that does not blot out my happiness in heaven. God has the power to blot that out. He can blot out sorrow. What is impossible with men is possible with God. We just need to learn to leave some things up to God. I think sometimes our problem is what Robert Turner used to say, we want to whittle on God's end of the stick. And we expect to understand everything. And there are some things He said you have to trust me on. Isaiah 55, remember, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and God's ways are higher than our ways. Look in your Bible in the book of Matthew in the 22nd chapter. Look, if you will, in Matthew 22. And notice, if you will, carefully what is said. In verse 23, the Pharisees had come, or the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection had come, and they're trying to tap Jesus. And notice, they want to know about someone's spouse in heaven. But notice, to skip that to save some time, notice what Jesus said to them. In Matthew 27, notice in verse 29, after they said a man had had to marry seven of his brother's wives. They asked the question in verse 28, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? And notice what Jesus says in verse 29. You are mistaken. And he tells them two things. Underscore this. This is very important. Not knowing the Scriptures, that was part of their problem. And what's the second part? Nor the power of God. They didn't know the power of God. Underscore that. I don't think sometimes we realize how powerful God is. We sing how great thou art, but then we question His power. If God said a person can go to heaven and recognize Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even though my loved one may not get there, if I get there, God has assured me there will be happiness there and no sorrow, who am I to question the power of God? I firmly believe there will be recognition in heaven. I believe there will be a body. I believe it will be a spiritual body. But what that body looks like, I do not know. But I believe that God has the power to make us recognize Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe I'll recognize those saints that were members at Eastside from years ago. I believe I'll recognize loved ones. And just because I'm not able to understand everything about it, would not take away the power of God. And I'll tell you, just because you can't understand something that God can do, don't let that rob you of the joy that He promises. How many of us have stood at the graveside and looked at the loved one and wondered, will we see him again? Have you ever thought about the blessing of a child of God, the hope of seeing them? Now, we won't have the same relationship in heaven of marriages and children, but I'll tell you what, it'll be a spiritual relationship. And there will be joy, and there will be happiness, and we'll be gathered around the throne. Because you know what the church is? The bride of Christ. You know what we are? Children of God. Now, any of those things you can disagree with, but I'm going to tell you one thing for certain. And you can leak this with you. And you can write this down. The most important thing is you get there. Make sure you get there. Now, what I've been teaching is what I believe, and to me it's the greatest source of comfort in the world. I remember when my mother died, I sat down and I started going through about life after death. And I'll tell you something. I think of some of my loved ones that are possibly there now. And then I think of some of those that may not be there. And yet I still believe there will be happiness in heaven. And I think even if I lose my soul and my children get to heaven, they'll be happy because God said they would. And who am I to question the power of God? That's one of the biggest problems today. People questioning God's power. Now that brings us back to one other thing. Open your Bible to Revelation 22. Now you think about in 1 Corinthians 15, it said He'll give us a body that's incorruptible. A body that won't decay. A body that won't die. And I wish we had time to study this more, but you remember in Genesis 3, He had the tree of life, and He told them not to eat of the tree of life. But this all fits into it. Have you ever noticed how the book ends in Revelation 22, in verse 2? When He's describing heaven, He said, in the midst of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Eternal life. The tree had been removed. When? When Adam sinned. When is it going to be back? Not on earth, but in heaven. Now, who am I to question God? There's life beyond the grave. The question I want to raise is this. Can you tell me the day of your death? Or can you tell me the day of Jesus' return? No one can tell me that. When my mother was dying, the doctor took me in. And she said, your mother thinks you're not accepting the fact she's dying. She said, I want to tell you something. She's got 6 months to a year.
You know she was wrong? She had 3 months. Sometimes we don't realize how fragile we are on this earth. That we are just handfuls of dust that God has created that contains an eternal soul. And how we conduct our life here determines where we'll be for eternity. Whether it be in paradise where we recognize each other. In hell, my friend, I don't know if you recognize each other or not. But I never forget a picture that my mother painted to me when I was a child talking about hell. She said, I don't know what it'll be like, son, but I can just imagine screaming and people bumping into one another. And people like Hitler and people like Nietzsche and people like Alexander the Great and people like these emperors that were so, like Caligula, that were so violent and so wicked and so evil and so devious, and they were just deviants to the most utter part. That'll be your company forever. I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to miss heaven. And I don't want you to miss it either. God went to great lengths to keep us from that place. I would go to any length I should be willing to keep myself from that place and be pleasing to my Father. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you need to be baptized. We pray that tonight you'll say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be immersed.